There's a question. Okay, you.
Hi, Anna Maria Lemieux. So, have I understood correctly that the main, actually, like, explanation why is it so hard to detect the axions is because the decay constant is so large?
Yes.
Okay, and are there, for instance, then models which include axions which have the, such constant a little bit smaller?
Yes. So if you make the axion decay constant smaller, the interactions become stronger, right? Excuse me. But you will have limits from stellar evolution. So there is actually naturally a coupling strength where you do get into trouble with the constraints from stars. Stars are actually quite well understood, and you affect the successes of stellar evolution if they emit too many axions. So one critical coupling is the coupling to two photons, and there's a definite constraint on it from stellar evolutions, actually horizontal brain stars, okay, whatever. That limit on the two-photon coupling is 10 to the minus 10 GeV to the minus GeV to the minus 1. And that's actually considered a very solid limit. So it's fine. We can do as you say, but you'll have that limit to consider. Okay. Thank you.
Hi, this is Christian Döring. So in the very end of your talk, you talked about the stimulating the decay.
Yes.
It was a bit fast for me. Can you maybe elaborate a little bit on it and explain it shortly again?
I'm very happy to do that, yes. So axions decay to two photons. Each photon energy is half the axion mass. If you, let's for simplicity, assume that you are in a cold fluid of axions at rest. And then, in that case, if you were to emit photons with half energy, half the axion mass, what would happen, it's interesting actually, you send a beam in one direction, and this goes out ideally to infinity, and all along, it will stimulate the decay of axions to two photons, one of which gets added to the original beam and one of them goes back. And something that is pretty nice about this, the beam will spread, right? But it turns out that the echo, the photons going back, retraces the original beam exactly in this ideal case. So now the real world is more complicated. Even if you have a cold, fluid of axions, actually we think there are cold flows of axions. They are moving with respect to you at some typical velocity of 300 kilometers per second. So the trouble now is, also I should perhaps have added in the first case, which is the simple case, you send out the beam, and it produces an echo forever. In that sense, the word echo is not well chosen, because when you talk to a wall or a mountain, the echo comes back like this, right? The axion echo comes back to you forever, because the original beam goes out, and all along the way, it produces axions, very minute, coming back. If you move respect to the beam, the trouble now is that the Earth moves away from where the echo comes back, you see. So actually, you're now limited by the fact that if you have a transverse velocity to the axion flow, if you have some transverse, then the echo will move away, and so you have to listen to it early on, because the echo will move away and you won't be able to listen to it anymore. But we think that actually in these models, I don't have time to talk about, that we know some of these directions. And so the idea is that you shoot the beam in that direction, and then the echo will come back to you precisely to the extent that you know the direction of this velocity, of this flow. Sorry, long time.
Thank you. Just for getting the sizes, maybe write a follow-up question. How big would this be, this experiment? How should I imagine?
How would you do it? Okay. So you would send, and the typical number we have is 10 megawatt produced in a tunable way. And I guess you would have dishes that send this beam up. And you would have a radio telescope, a big dish, nearby to listen for the echo. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, this is Burns. In these plots that show the limits for the axion dark matter searches with the Hadamard scopes and so on, I think you have, what is it? There are those lines corresponding to KSFC and DFS, what is it, DFSC? KSVC, okay. And if I understand correctly, those two are just the only like typical solutions that would solve the strong CP problem. And then what would happen if one discovers an axion that does not match it? Would that just mean that the strong CP is unrelated to the axion? Or can there be some scenarios where you have, for example, have two types of axion fields and that way can still explain both dark matter and strong CP with the axion-like mechanism?
Yeah, so let me take the time to get to some slide like this. Yeah, I guess, say, for example, here, right? So you're thinking, what happens if you find a signal right there? Yeah, that's an interesting situation. I think you'll be very happy to have such a signal, whether or not it solves the strong CP problem. The question, I think, is whether it's possibly solving the strong CP problem. I think that would mean that, because these are just two models, you can make many models. So you have some spread here. But to go far from these two lines, you have to make the models more and more, I want to say likely or unlikely, but maybe unexpected, not what you would think at first. So I think it would maybe not inconceivable, but it doesn't seem very likely to me if you are very far from the QCD lines, but maybe possible. There's something that I think should be said too, is that if you have ground unification, actually the value of this coupling is fixed and is the same as in the DFSZ model, and it is the one that is more weakly coupled of these two. So if you believe both in ground, if you believe in ground unification and you find a signal there, according to what I just said, you say that cannot be the QCD axion. Thank you.
Anna Vogel, I was wondering, because the strong CP problem is somehow related to a fine tuning, like we don't know why the theta would be so small. But then we are proposing a new particle, and this particle, the mass, should be very small right now. And wouldn't this also be like a fine tuning in our theory?
Yes, thank you. That's also a good question. So the mass is given in terms of the decay constant. The decay constant in the case where of axion dark matter is of order 10 to the 12 GeV. So the question is, could there be a scale of 10 to the 12 GeV? I think this is what you're asking. So, well, there's a scale of 1 TeV that could be said to be fine-tuning, but it is the real world, so we have to live with that. You know, I think, so that's one comment. If something is motivated by observation, assuming that actually you find axions, so you can say it's motivated by observation, but in the meantime, it's motivated by the strong CP problem and dark matter problem, well, that is the justification for the scale existing, okay. I think another additional interesting comment on this was made by Kim, Ginny Kim, that actually you can have something like technicolor. remember dynamical symmetry breaking with condensates of Technique quarks. You assume a new strong interaction, called Technicolor usually, and they make condensates, and they establish a scale similar to the scale of QCD, which we don't call fine-tuning, I guess for good reason. You could have a similarly axicolor that establishes a scale, say, of 10 to the 12 GV. Strong interaction becoming strong, axicolor interaction becomes strong at 10 to the 12 GV, establishing the strength of the condensates, the axion decay constant, therefore the axion mass. So I think that would be not fine-tuning, you know. Fine-tuning is a little bit, you know, in the heart, the odyssey, in the heart and the eye, right? Thank you.
Thanks.
Yes. Okay, Antonio Masiero, Padova. No, I was thinking, keeping with this plot that you show. Yesterday, you were mentioning that axions could be related to the other interesting possible hint we have for new physics beyond the standard model, namely the G minus 2 of the muon. And in fact, I think there are models which have been proposed where you exchange some virtual axion particle to explain the G minus 2 puzzle, say. Now, I was wondering, first of all, if you stick to this band, can you find possible masses and couplings in order to account for the G minus 2 discrepancy? Or do you have to move to ALPS, so to axion-like particles, but not strictly axion particle? In other words, could one relate the strong CP problem and the solution simultaneously also the G minus 2 puzzle?
Okay, great. So I should say I've not looked at this problem lately, so I'm alone. We have to be a little bit careful, okay? I think if you go along this line, where the coupling and the mass are related, the calculation, the contribution to muon G minus 2 has been calculated a long time ago. And I think that if you want to explain the discrepancy that we may see today, I think that would not be possible. That would be so far. That would be somewhere here, whatever.
Over there,
I don't know exactly. Mm-hmm. That would be inconsistent with the limit from, say, stellar evolution. Now, if you go elsewhere, if you don't go along the line, then I would also think it's difficult. But I'm not sufficiently confident to say what you can cook up to explain it. Are there some papers about it? I don't know. You're suggesting there are some papers, right, that explain G minus 2 discrepancy with...
Yes,
scalar.
But... Yes, there are, but people were considering ALPS.
ALPS, right.
You know, and so I was wondering if there was some way with axions to... But I think it is very difficult because you would need higher masses and also couplings,
right,
which are somewhat larger. But some of the experiments you proposed this morning, they could also look for ALPS, say.
Yes.
So probably you can also investigate regions of ALPS where you account for G minus 2 to see the possibility of detecting them through your experiments.
Yes, I agree. I've not looked at much of the literature lately, so I'm not quite sure whether there are really attractive models of that kind, but that's interesting.
Okay. is that, so I think we reached the point that we have to terminate the discussion. I'd like to thank the speaker again.
Thank you.